any conviction worth its salt has chosen to cohabit with a piece of mystery. All of our traditions insist on a reverence for what we do not know now and cannot tie up with explanation in this lifetime. This is an invitation to bring the particularities and passions of our identities into common life while honoring the essential mystery and dignity of the other, and to do so not as an adjunct to faithfulness, but as an article of it.
Unity creates diversity. So don't think of one God, one truth, one way. Think of one God creating this extraordinary number of ways. The 6,800 languages that are actually spoken. Don't think there's only one language within which we can speak to God.
This is Becoming Wise, an inquiry into the mystery and art of living. I'm Krista Tippett. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, who held the august title of Chief Rabbi of the UK for over 20 years until 2013, is one of our most eloquent thinkers on the multitudinous and redemptive both-ands of the religious present. He finds in Jewish tradition and in the religious enterprise as a whole a profound well of tools to take on the dignity of difference and keep vibrant identities intact across boundaries of faith, science, and culture. Let's talk about how it is possible, in your imagination, to retain the essence, the truth claims of Judaism, and also, as you say, honor the dignity of difference, understand oneself to be enlarged rather than threatened by religious others.
I use metaphors. You know, each one may be helpful to some and not to others. One way is just to think, for instance, of biodiversity. The extraordinary thing we now know, thanks to Crick and Watson's discovery of DNA and the decoding of the human and other genomes, is that all life, everything, you know, all the 3 million species of life and plant life, all have the same source. We all come from a single source. Everything that lives has its genetic code written in the same alphabet. Unity creates diversity. So don't think of one God, one truth, one way. Think of one God creating this extraordinary number of ways. The 6,800 languages that are actually spoken. Don't think there's only one language within which we can speak to God. The Bible is saying to us the whole time, don't think that God is as simple as you are. He's in places you would never expect him to be. And you know, we lose a bit of that in English translation. Because when Moses at the burning bush says to God, who are you? God says to him three words, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. And those words are mistranslated in English as I am that which I am. Mm-hmm. But in Hebrew it means I will be who or how or where I will be. Meaning, don't think you can predict me. I am a God who is going to surprise you. And one of the ways God surprises us is by letting a Jew or a Christian discover the trace of God's presence in a Buddhist monk or a Sikh tradition of hospitality, or the graciousness of Hindu life. You know, don't think we can confine God into our categories. God is bigger than religion.
And at the same time, and I think you would say it as an and rather than a but, there is also a special relationship that is evident in those texts and a covenant that is particular to the Jewish people. And even as you honor the dignity of difference, you are upholding the dignity of that particularity. So talk to me about how theologically, how you bring those things together, how they're not a contradiction.
By being what only I can be, I give humanity what only I can give. It is my uniqueness that allows me to contribute something unique to the universal heritage of humankind. And I sum it up, the Jewish imperative, very simply, and it has been like this since the days of Abraham, to be true to your faith and a blessing to others regardless of their faith. You know, when you really reach the very depth of particularity, that is where all of us can relate to him or her. And that's the big paradox.
And it's a gift. It's a gift.
It's a gift, you know. And I don't know why it is. But, you know, it's just, you know, and Isaiah comes along and he delivers his prophecies, and they're so particular to that faith, that place, that time. Mm-hmm. And yet I call Isaiah the poet laureate of hope, and you know, at the height of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, at the very height of it, there he is quoting verbatim two lines from Isaiah chapter 40, the King James translation. I can't remember it. I don't know it so well in English. But, you know, I have a dream that one day every valley will be laid out and every mountain laid out and all flesh will see it together. You know, I doubt whether Isaiah 27 centuries ago in the Middle East could envisage that one day, you know, black civil rights activists would be moved by his words. But it's the particularity of Isaiah that spoke to a Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. That's how we are as a people, you know. I don't know why it is, how it is, but it's the authentic, the unique, the different that makes us feel enriched when we encounter it. And it's this bland, plastic, synthetic, universal, can't tell one brand of coffee from another brand of coffee that makes life flat, uninteresting, and essentially uncreative.
Mm-hmm. There's a line of yours. I don't know if it's true to say that it's a famous line, but it feels kind of famous to me, and it might also please you, I think, that I mm-hmm. first heard it in the quoted by a young Muslim interfaith mm-hmm. leader. When you compared the beginning of the 21st century in terms of religious dynamics to Europe at the beginning of the 17th century, and this was in The Dignity of Difference, and you said, but religion is not what the Enlightenment thought it would become, mute, marginal, and mild. It is fire, and like fire, it warms, but it also burns, and we are the guardians of the flame. I think you've just described to me part of your function as a guardian of the flame. Mm. But I wonder also, in closing, if you would talk to me about how, what you see when you look at the world in terms of seeds of a deeper moral and spiritual imagination emanating from your tradition and other traditions. Where are you finding hope?
I think God is setting us a big challenge. A really big challenge. We are living so close to difference, with such powers of destruction, that he's really giving us very little choice. You know, to quote that great line from W.A. Jordan, we must love one another or die. Mm. And that is, I think, where we're at the beginning of the 21st century. And since we really can love one another, I have a great deal of hope.
Becoming Wise is an inquiry into the mystery and art of living. Learn more at onbeing.org/becomingwise.
On Being is supported in part by Penguin Press, the publishers of Becoming Wise, an inquiry into the mystery and art of living. Krista Tippett's book offers a grounded and fiercely hopeful vision of humanity for this century, of personal growth, renewed public life, and human spiritual evolution. Available now wherever books are sold.